So the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus died on Good Friday, rose again on Easter, and then appeared to his disciples a number of times after his resurrection. And after 40 days, it's finally time for Jesus to say goodbye, to leave his disciples for good. And so they go apart together for Jesus to give them one last final instructions before they go, the important last words. Jesus says, this verse that we're going to all memorize, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus was lifted up, and the cloud took Jesus out of their sight, took Jesus up into heaven. You will be my witnesses. These are Jesus' last words that he says to his disciples. And what a strange group to have as witnesses. I mean, these are the same disciples who abandoned Jesus when he was arrested and unwilling to even admit that they knew him. So Jesus dies abandoned and alone between two criminals. And yet these are the ones that Jesus says are going to witness to the ends of the earth. Now there's a legend told about what happened to Jesus after Jesus arrived up in heaven right after he ascended. Jesus arrives in heaven and he is greeted with all of the angels gathered around for his return. But they're a bit confused because they say to Jesus, you know, who's gonna finish the work that you started? I mean, I look down at the world and it seems like they're still having a lot of trouble down there. And then Jesus tells the rest of the angels not to worry. He has handpicked and trained a team to carry on until his return. And the angels reply, a bit shocked, saying, you mean those thick-skulled fishermen and those tax collectors who kind of missed the point of all the parables you tried to teach them? Peter, the one who denied you, and Thomas, who doubted you even after he saw you risen from the dead? These are your team? They're a bit doubtful about Jesus' strategy, and so one of the angels says to Jesus, well, if this plan doesn't work, Jesus, then what's your plan B? Jesus just smiled and shrugged and said, this is it. There is no plan B. There's no plan B. Just this ragtag group of disciples gathered together, told to wait there in Jerusalem. Wait for the power to come from the Holy Spirit. These are the ones that Jesus chose to witness, not because they were well qualified or educated or eloquent speakers. These are the ones chosen by God to witness so that we see the power of God working through them. Because it's not by their ability or power that they will be able to witness. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that this ragtag group of disciples can become witnesses in word and deed. And so they wait, and 10 days later, and they are gathered together there in Jerusalem, celebrating a Jewish harvest festival, the Festival of Weeks, also in Greek called Pentecost. The Holy Spirit does come. The Holy Spirit comes upon these disciples, and they begin to witness. This ragtag group of disciples begin to witness, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak about God's deeds of power. It starts in Jerusalem, just like Jesus said. This is the beginning of the book of Acts. And as we hear throughout the summer this book of Acts unfold, we'll see how this Spirit of God continues to work through these disciples and other followers of Jesus as they begin to witness to the ends of the earth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's power, these disciples are sent out as witnesses. This book, the Acts of the Apostles, is oftentimes called a book of the Holy Spirit because that's what this book is about. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these tell the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. But this book, the Acts of the Apostles, this tells the story of God's Spirit at work. It also tells the story of the church, the beginning of the church, as these followers of Jesus gather together and then go out and spread the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation and forgiveness of sins that comes to all people because of what Christ has done. And their witness spreads, and the church begins to grow. There is no need for Plan B because the Spirit is at work, spreading the good news to the ends of the earth. This book, the Acts of the Apostles, is a book of the church, and so it's our book as well. There is no Plan B. We are part of the plan as well. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on Pentecost, that one Pentecost long ago, and then was done. We actually see throughout the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit comes again and again and again, leading and directing these disciples, helping them to witness in word and in deed throughout this whole book over and over again. And the Holy Spirit didn't even stop when this book stopped. The Holy Spirit continues to work in the lives of the followers of Jesus, continues to help all the followers of Jesus to witness through word and deed. And so Pentecost happens over and over again as the power of the Spirit leads the disciples, the ragtag gathered group of disciples, to witness. Long ago, and even a ragtag group of disciples gathered here today, witnessing through word and deed. God's Spirit is alive and well in our lives and in our church. And I'd like to take just a few moments to reflect on some of the ways that I see the power of the Spirit leading and moving and working in the life of this church in this past year. Some of you may know we have begun a partnership over this last year with Monroe Elementary School, the elementary that's right across the street here. What you may not know is that this idea started many years ago. It started when Sharon Olson was on the school board and heard about that a number of the children at Monroe didn't have pajamas at bedtime. And so she wanted to get each of the kids pajamas. And so we got pajamas for the kids at Monroe. And then we thought, what else can we do? And so they started having meetings. Pastor Joel had meetings. Sharon Olson had meetings. There were lots and lots of meetings with absolutely nothing happening. And then the Spirit began to move and open doors. And so this last year, Angie Elder, our Director of Youth and Family Ministries, began to work with a kindergarten teacher over at Monroe. What can we do to help? It was small projects to start with. Copy some papers. Get a room ready for the fall. Can you maybe do a back-to-school night sack dinner? Sure. Then some teachers asking for help. During the week, could you come by and help in the classroom? A few teachers, and then more. And then it began to grow and take a life of its own. God's Spirit opening the doors. God's Spirit opening the hearts of members here at Zion to share their gifts with children right here in this community. And at the end of the year, amazing things had happened. Just want to share a brief story that one of the members here shared. He was doing a project here for Zion and had to do some welding. So he went to the local welder and said, you know, I need to do this project. It's for Zion Lutheran Church. And the man who was the welder said, well, if it's for Zion Lutheran Church, it doesn't cost you a dime. And he said, well, you know, we can pay. It's a church. He said, no, my grandkids go to Monroe Elementary School. I know what your church is doing for those children. The power of the Spirit at work, spreading the good news, witnessing through word and deed here in this place. and this community. You can just look around this building. You can see our welcoming renovation that was just completed this spring. Again, many of you may not know the work that went into planning this project, but the amazing thing is that each of the members of the Long Range Planning Committee who worked on bringing this together brought different gifts, gifts given to them by God to help this project come to fruition. And then, once the idea took root, we were blessed with the gifts of the contractors and the construction company and the gifts of the people in this church sharing their generosity to help to support this welcoming renovation. And so the Spirit took root, witnessing in word and deed, sharing our gifts. And we're beginning to see the Spirit's activity moving around here as you walked in today, as the Vacation Bible School is going to begin next week. This place will be a Spirit-filled place this coming week. If you want to see the Spirit, just come anytime, Monday to Friday, 9 to noon, and you will find the Spirit at work. The Spirit at work because so many people here are witnessing by their words and their deeds, sharing their gift with over 70 preschool and elementary school students who will be coming here to hear the good news of Jesus. And if you really want Spirit-filled, come next week at 10 o'clock because it's going to be a VBS worship service. Spirit-filled with all the lives of the children. We even find the Spirit working at today as we celebrate the ordination anniversaries of two of our members, Pastor Marvin Huth, who's been a pastor for over 60 years, and Pastor Paul Jonkas, who has been a pastor for 35 years. These two men were called as pastors through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led them and has continued to use their gifts in ordained ministry. And so we celebrate today the gifts that they have shared throughout the whole church, helping others to become witnesses. And more importantly, we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit working in each one of our lives as well. The Holy Spirit doesn't only lead pastors to become witnesses. Wouldn't that be easy for you all then, if only the pastors had to witness? But instead, the Holy Spirit is calling all of the disciples to become witnesses. Witnesses in word and in deed. The current presiding bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, preached last week at the Allegheny Synod Assembly, and in her sermon, she said, "Baptism is the most important ordination that you will ever experience. Each one of you, through baptism, is filled with the Spirit, filled with gifts to witness to God in word and in deed." These are just a few of the ways that I have seen over the last few months how Pentecost is happening over and over and over again. How God has turned a ragtag group of disciples into witnesses in word and deed in our time, just as God did on that first Pentecost. It happens here in the life of this congregation and in the life of each of God's disciples. Throughout the summer, I invite you to read the book of Acts together with us as we begin to see the power of God's Spirit leading those first ragtag group of disciples to become witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I also invite you to look around and to reflect on all of the ways that you see God's Spirit at work, God's Spirit at live in your life, the lives of people around you, in our congregation, in our world. God's Spirit moving and calling each one of us to witness through word and deed. Look for the work of the Spirit in your lives, through people who've shared their gifts, lived lives of compassion, when they've lived following that nudge from the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not happening because we are powerful or qualified or educated. Pentecost happens because God's power comes through you There is no plan B. Amen.